What's up, fam? Wealth Weekend is upon us, and I'm inviting you as one of my new official rich relatives to what I'm affectionately calling the Rich Relative Reunion. It's like your family reunion, but make it wealth. So I hope you're excited for all of the experiences, the entertainment, and the education that awaits you in Atlanta, Georgia in July. I can't wait to see you there. And just beat me there. Don't meet me there. Peace.
Welcome to the Melanin Money Show with your host, George Achampong and Carter Cofield. We're on a mission to decrease the wealth gap by $100 billion and in the process, creating 100,000 new first-generation millionaires. And we want you to be one of them. So listen to our show for weekly tips on personal finance, wealth building, and entrepreneurship as we help you navigate your journey to your first $1 million in net worth and beyond.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of the Melanin Money Show. We're just going to get this out the way. This is the uniform, right? Or one of the uniforms of the Melanin Money crew.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody got something to say?
Can we start that over? Did we do a clap to start over?
I don't know if that was necessary.
Yeah. I mean, they were gonna say like just clapping. They were like, I don't know why people do that, but like,
find it in the audio. Okay, cool. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Melanin Money Show.
Yes, sir.
You know the vibes, Carter. How you feeling, bro?
I feel amazing, man. I'm feeling real comfortable. But this jogging suit, bro. Let me tell you something.
Hey, listen.
I don't know where you found this material.
Hey, man. A man like, of many hats.
Look,
you
know what man. Me? Look, I want one in every color.
Every color. Because at first, y'all, he was trying to like, so I had it, because y'all know Carter lives in Columbia, so all his stuff gets shipped to my house.
Yes.
I can't ship it to him.
Just give me a room, bro. Like
that too.
Yeah,
that okay. too. Okay. And so I sent him a little video. I was like, yo, this one came in. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna take the black one. I'll get out, keep all the shirts, but you can keep that maroon one. I ain't gonna wear it. I was like, bro, you gotta venture out, man. You gotta wear some colors.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's start there.
Okay,
let's start there. This could be a limiting belief, bro.
It's a limiting belief. It's right on par with the episode.
Like, as a dark-skinned male, I feel like wearing bright colors is just not a good fit, bro. Like, that could be me. I feel like the contrast is wild. Like,
bro, like, you're not that. I mean, we're about the same
color, right? You're a little lighter than me,
right? But like, yeah, bro, you can wear colors, bro.
Like, is that confirmed?
It's not gonna make you look like a banana with burnt tips.
Bro, I just like a super black person wearing like a fuchsia color, bro. Like, I just, for me, it just never sat right in my spirit.
Bro, you gotta try it.
Could
man.
Be a limited belief. It's a limited belief. Can y'all please let me know in the chat? Is it okay? Because summertime's coming. Is it okay for dark skinned males to just be out here with the Fruit Loops colors?
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Just rocking.
Wear the colors, man.
Okay, okay.
Yellow, purple, pink, whatever. You gonna wear the crew neck, right? The pink one, right?
I have it.
This guy,
but you pull it off well. I'll give it like.
So what makes you think you can't pull it off?
Limiting
belief.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's some things I'm good at, and like, yeah, like when I'm like shopping, like we mentioned the other day, like when I'm shopping, I'll see somebody. George can pull that off. Like, I'm not gonna buy it, but like George, he can pull that off.
And there's also respect. Like, people, you know, just know what they like and what they're comfortable in. But I do think, let the record state, I think you can pull it off. If you want to pull it off?
Okay.
Right. So give them a room. Profit jump shoes.
Yeah, let us know in the comments if it's okay for dark skinned guys to be out here with the Fruity Pebbles colors.
Yeah, but the reason why we brought that up is because, just so y'all, you know, understand, like, if we worked at Target, right, we wore our little red polo and our khakis, y'all be okay. Like, y'all understand that's the uniform. So this is our uniform. So Mind Your Business, we batched some episodes, yeah, and we gonna wear this.
And like, if we weren't, I might still have this on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because right. Like,
you have an unlimited supply.
Yes, I'm glad. If you're It's a shame that people are bigger ambassadors for other people than they are for themselves.
Big facts. And with that being said,
you know what I'm saying?
What else has to be said? So let's talk about a semi-current event.
Okay.
So, you know, big fans of hip hop. And J. Cole dropped a little EP album, whatever, just ahead of Dreamville. Is that the name of the festival? Dreamville?
Yeah.
Called Might Delete Later. That aha moment. He told y'all in the title that he might delete it later, right? You know what I'm saying? So he told y'all in the title, but he had a song on there, 7 minute drill.
Have you heard any of it?
I heard it.
I haven't heard any of this.
Yeah. Now he removed the song. So you can't hear it. I mean, I'm pretty sure it exists somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yo, it's on the internet. It's on the internet forever.
Oh, yeah. Once it's on the internet, it's on the internet forever.
Yeah.
But he released a song called 7 Minute Drill. And I felt like it was a warning shot. Like, just like basically let Kendrick know, like, yo, bro, like, who you shooting at? You know what I'm saying? He paid homage to Jay and one of his old disses to Nas. And he was like 4 albums and however long it's been since Kendrick dropped the album. Basically saying, like, bro, you not like that, right?
Mm.
So the internet went crazy, blah, blah, blah. Then at the festival, he basically was just like, yo, that didn't sit right with me. You know, I apologize. And I'm gonna remove it from all streaming services. So now the big debate is, right, we got your OG hip-hop fans like, nah, bro, this is rap. Like, nah, you don't do that. This is weak, blah, boom, boom. And you got some people like, nah, this is growth. Like, this is what we talking about, right? If, as a culture, we can't evolve to the point where a black man can apologize for something that didn't sit right with him. Like, what are we really doing? We've seen people beefs evolve into more than just music, right? So as much as you want to advocate for the music and say, bro, it's just a sport, well, we've seen it evolve past that. And for me personally, I like both. Lyrically, I would say more Cole than Kendrick, but like, I like both of them, and I don't want to see either one of them get like something happen over something that was just music, right? Like at some point we gotta reflect as a culture and be like, why are we gravitating towards music that talks about killing and degrading women and drugs and whatever, and then get mad when the outcome of our people is reflected of the music? Everybody ain't smart enough to separate the art and just get hype in the gym or just get hype in the club and then go and back.
It's usually
to
not the artist; it's the artist's entourage,
right,
that wants to feel away and get rowdy and like. Because usually the artist, for the most part, they ain't like that to be like throwing hands in the club, but it's the entourage and somebody, you know what I'm saying? The fan base and stuff like that that takes things out of pocket, man. So, so how did you feel about the apology? You said you,
I think it was growth. I think it was cool. Like, I mean, I think if that was true to him, I think it was the right move, and that's what it boils down to. So that, I think if that's what he felt like he should have done, then I think it was the right move.
Yeah, yeah, and I would never disagree with anybody doing what's right for their spirit. Because after all the lights off, after the camera shut down, you have to be able to sleep at night and live with the decision that you made. Now, my homie did say, text me something the other day to our group chat that was profound. He was like, yo, like, I'm all with somebody apologizing and killing the beef or whatever. He was like, but you can't steal on somebody first, and then when they hit you back, you say fight's over. Right. Mm. But I didn't know. I didn't follow it. I thought J. Cole shot first, but it seems like Kendrick might have said something beforehand.
Right.
But all in all, I think he did what he had to do. But like, yeah, somebody swinging on you in the club.
Right.
And then you hit him back. They're like, hey, man, oh, I'm just playing. Like, what you mean? Just playing, bro.
Right. You swung on me, bro. Let's get it started.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not
yeah.
from my understanding. Yeah. Right. Like, it was Kendrick first, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, arguably, like, some people could say in first person shooter, like, he kind of referenced it. But in my opinion, I took that as a paying homage thing. I'm saying, like, of all the rappers in the game, we're the big three. And of course, I'm going to think I'm the best.
Yeah.
Right?
As you should.
Of course, right? So I think from that vantage point, Kendrick was the first person to really, like, throw a direct shot.
Yeah.
And then now the big question is Drake going to respond?
We'll see. As of this episode, he hasn't. But one thing I can respect about Kendrick's verse and his shot back was that it's direct.
It's direct.
Like, bro, some of these subtweet lyrics, like, you have to pull out the lyric scripts and go back in time to see. Like, bro, I'm not trying to go on a scavenger hunt to see who you're talking about.
Facts.
If you want to call somebody out, just call the person out. So I can't respect the way he came out, because we didn't have to do any research to know exactly who he was talking about.
Right.
And then, I just peeped the part at the end when he was like, say something about K's with the 9. You go see Pet Sematary. I'm like, that's about Drake.
Yeah.
All the dogs. I put it together. I got it.
So I mean, again, like, if you're OG hip hop fan, of course you're gonna love the banter. Of course you're gonna love the energy. But unfortunately, like, we have seen too many instances, right? Especially you being from Chicago, you know how I go, right? Mm-hmm. Like, too many instances where, like, it evolves past that.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, man, we got, you're going to hear the famous, man, we got to do better, man, as a culture, when it's too late.
Yeah. So you tried to do better at the beginning, but y'all had a problem with it.
Right, like, nah, let them rap, let them fight.
Crazy.
So, yeah, so, you know, we, it, We know it's a money podcast, but we'd be remiss if we didn't at least give our two cents and thoughts on that. Hopefully, and hopefully by the time this airs, Drake has, well, is it a hopefully? Has something to say? I ain't gonna lie, I wanna hear it, right? Yeah. Even if he apologizes too, I wanna hear it at least initially. Drake, drop the track, Drake.
Yeah, yeah. So this is actually a perfect segue because today's episode is gonna be around the art of letting go, right? And J. Cole was like, hey, I'm letting this go.
Right.
Whatever.
That was, that was off the back.
Hey, look, man, I'm good at this, dog. It's the yin and yang. But, so I think it's really good time to talk about the art of letting go in our respective lives.
For sure.
Because there's two quotes that I love and I repeat often, especially when we're like in classes. Who are you willing to cut off in order to take off?
Right.
And, I forgot the other one.
So what are you willing to give up to go up?
Yeah, what are you willing to give up in order to go up, right? And the reason for these two lines is that a lot of the times to get from where you are to where you want to go, you don't need to add luggage to the vehicle.
Right.
Sometimes
you need to take some
luggage out the vehicle so that you can get to the destination faster.
Big facts.
And I think that people don't realize that because addition is easy. Okay, I need more of this, I need more of that, I need more of that. The tough conversations is what do I need less of?
Big facts.
Like when you have to travel somewhere, you can't check a bag. Like what do I really need in this bag in order to get to the destination? So I think today we should talk about the art of letting go.
Big facts, because I have a quote that I say a lot, and it's in order to elevate and rise, it's often more about subtraction than it is addition, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like people think like, oh, I got to add something. Like you said, I got to add something. Matter of fact, I ain't going to spoiler alert, but we got a collection coming in Q1 of 2025, baggage claim, but it's going to be crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a much tougher conversation. Because you really have to evaluate like things that you already have, right? People that you already have, relationships you've already established that no longer fit, right, in your life. Or of course, we're going with the analogy, the suitcase. And that's a much harder conversation because the easier thing to do is, well, shoot, let me just go and bring another bag, right? Mm-hmm. Let me just bring another bag. But here's the realization that I had. If I gave you a 10-pound weight right now, right? And I said, walk a mile with it. First mile, be fine. Second mile, hand, okay, cool. Third mile, feel a little heavier. Fourth mile, you're like, bro, when can I let this thing go? And with the thing that people don't realize, when you hold on to something, even though it seems like it's the original relationship or the original thing, the longer you hold on to that same thing, the heavier it gets, the bigger drag it causes in your life, right? And but we think psychologically, it's like, oh, well, I dealt with this person a year ago. Surely I can still find a way, create space for them, you know, 3 years from now. But that's not true. That's not, you think it's true, but like the longer you carry that weight, the heavier it's going to be, right? Yeah. If you're in a suitcase, if you're in the airport, you pick up that bag for a couple minutes and they're going to be that bad. Hold on to that bag, that 30-pound bag for 20 minutes. And that's how it is when you hold on to these things in your life. And now all your attention is just trying to hold on to that.
Ooh, and oh, this is good. This episode is going to go longer than shit. I could tell already. What people don't understand is a few things. Number one, some people are in your life for a reason. Some people are in your life for a season.
Facts.
The struggle that most of us fail to realize is that when you're trying to become somebody new and you have these people who are continuously reminding you on who you used to be.
Right.
Ooh. It is a weight that you cannot feel, that you probably don't recognize at this moment, but it's that 10-pound weight that on mile 5 is weighing you down from becoming the person that God has called you to be, becoming the person that you deserve to be. Because I want to become this person, but when I go talk to you, you remind me of the times we were partying and drinking and smoking and waking up at noon. And because it's comfortable for you, you want to keep me in that box. And but every day I stand in that box is a day that I'm not walking towards the destination I need to walk towards. So that is the dangerous part about it. It's a weight that's too light to be felt until it's too strong to be broken.
That's big facts.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So I think that it might seem harmless to keep that friend that just throws a little jabs. Say, are you rich guy now, huh? Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I remember when you had the holes in your shirt, right? Like, you know, but like, because they're trying to bring you down to the person they remember, but like those little jabs,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Just remind you of a person that you are no longer, that you no longer are, and that you're no longer aspiring to be.
Right, and not to mention, like, it's a process. Like, you're literally changing your identity, right? So like, when someone constantly reminds you of that, it's not lost on me that you're still a human. And it's like, maybe you had a rough day in this new identity that you're trying to become. You know what? Maybe I should.
It's easier.
Do this, right? You know what I'm saying? So like, you got people that you need to have people in your life that are reminding you of where you're going and giving you the confidence when you sometimes don't even have as much of it yourself because you're exhausted. You're trying everything you can to step into this new identity. You need people to remind you of that identity. Right? Like that you got it. Like, nah, you're made for this. You're built for this. Like, not the person that's going to bring you back down. Like, yeah, bro, don't worry about that, bro. Take a load off. Chill. You don't need to work out. You don't need to eat healthy. You do it most of the time. And the thing is, ooh, I got one for you. Shout out to Maya Ellis. I'll give you credit. I give you credit on this one. One time, she said, maintenance. What is she? I don't want to butcher it, but she just told me yesterday. She said, she was talking about her fitness goals. But she was like, what did she say? She said, moderation is for maintenance, right? And what she meant by that is when you are not where you want to be, all your energy needs to be focused on where you want to be. Not the people like, oh, well, you already worked out four times this week. Sure, you can, you know, indulge a little, right? Mm-hmm. Like not moderation. Once I get there, yeah, I'm going to do that. I ain't there yet.
Yeah.
Right? I ain't there yet. So don't try to entice me with it's okay, you're doing good enough. Because I've said it before and I'll say it again. The most infuriated person on the planet is the person, right, who is stuck in the middle, right? The person who's sitting on the couch, right? Like, they don't expect anything to happen. Mm-hmm. The person who went all in, even if they don't get it, they don't get exactly what they want. Shout out to the last episode. They know they're going to win. They left it all on the table. They can be content with that. But the person who's really frustrated is that person that goes to the gym 4 days a week, eats healthy 3 to 4 times a week for the most part, right? Putting in time. But when they look in the mirror, they still don't see the results that they want. Because it's like, yo, I'm showing up sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm putting in work sometimes. And I'm not getting what I want. So when you're in that transitionary phase of becoming the dream version of yourself, you can't afford people to try to remind you of reverting back to the old you. Because it's too easy.
Yeah. And one of the sayings that I heard recently that made me think about this episode is that, you know, growing sometimes means leaving people behind. And when I was able to change the frame, which I'm about to give the audience in a second, when I was able to change the frame, leaving people behind didn't hurt me anymore.
Right.
Because here's the new frame that I started seeing it out of. And Snoop Dogg, I think, said it on one of his tweets. He said, like, yo, this is where we used to be. You got homies that's right here, right? And y'all both were right here.
Right.
And then you elevated here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gap between y'all now.
Right.
And there's two ways to close the gap.
Mm-hmm.
They can come up.
Right.
And level up to where you at. Boom. Mm-hmm. We back on the same playing field. Let's go kick it. Or you can come back down to where they're at.
Right.
Anytime you go back down and you lose.
Right.
So my thing is, I'm not leaving you behind. Right. You left me behind because you decided to stop growing.
Big facts.
Because like if you really want what's best for me, you don't want me to come down to your level.
Right.
If you really want what's best for you,
you will come up.
You will come up.
Right.
And if you don't want what's best for you, guess what? If you don't want what's best for you, it's impossible for you to want what's best for me.
That's a bar. That's
period. A bar. Like, if you don't want what's, like, if you don't want what's best for you, it is impossible for you to want what's best for me. And it might be a conscious or subconscious, but for you to really want what's best for me and tell me, like, hey, you know, you made it out against all odds, boom, boom. Right. That means that person also looked themselves in the mirror and be like, I didn't make it out.
Right. And I came from the same environment.
Exactly. Now they got to start having the tough conversations with themselves.
Right.
And 99.9% of people would rather bring you down than have that tough conversation with themselves to bring themselves up.
Mm-hmm. That's another quote that I live by. The true root of all disease, dis-ease, is being disconnected from oneself. right? And so the reason why people don't want to have that tough conversation is because they have to really sit with themselves and they have to really reflect and do some introspection on, like, how is it that I also came from the South Side of Chicago? How is it that I also came from, actually, maybe slightly, circumstances weren't as bad. I still had my parents. Like, how is it that I wasn't able to break free too? What is it about? That's a tough conversation to have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what was it about me so far? And not to say that you can't, right, come up. Mm-hmm. What was it about me that didn't give me that same drive, me that same energy? And that's a really tough conversation. So people would rather, you know, be distracted or have background noise, right? So that they don't have to sit with themselves to really understand and unpack, like, what is causing that, right? And what you also said kind of made me think about something else. Another collection we're about to drop that we're actually in Atlanta for, shooting some content around, is like, you got to run your race at your pace, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, there might be seasons in a journey where somebody is like, okay, we were running beside each other, right? Then one person broke out a little bit, boom, mm-hmm. cool, I'm happy for you. Then maybe they ran, caught up, maybe they even passed you a little mm-hmm. bit, right? But it's like, what I can't do is stop at the mile mark and say, okay, I'm gonna just stop and wait till you catch up. Mm-hmm. Right, and hope that you even have the desire to catch up. That's what I can't do. It's not me leaving you behind. It's me running my race at my pace, right? And the door is always open for you to catch up, right? People get lapped all the time, mm-hmm. right? But that's on you to do that. It's not on me to stop, right, what I'm doing to appease where you are in your journey.
And what's actually interesting about this is that the ones that really want to grow, they will thank you for distancing yourself.
Right.
Because I've had homies come to me after they caught some the wind and say, hey, look, right. man, I appreciate you. I don't know if it's on purpose or not,
yeah.
but like distancing yourself, because I wasn't talking about nothing back then, bro.
Right.
But like now I'm talking about this, and you're answering mm-hmm. the phone more, you're responding right. more, because like
right.
I wouldn't have made that move.
Right.
If I didn't see you like just disconnecting, you know what I'm saying? Right. So the right ones, they go come along for the ride anyway.
Yep.
And the mm-hmm. ones that are not,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's not your job.
Cause they'll see, right? Yeah. It's like, it's evident. It's like first, well, they might not understand initially, but then eventually they'll see.
Yeah.
And if there's something that they want to, then they'll start putting themselves in a space to where it makes sense for us to talk, mm-hmm. right? Cause it's like, that's the other thing. It's like quite frankly, the disconnection is coming from the fact that what you're interested in and what's consuming you, we just no longer relate on mm-hmm. those things no more, right? So like, it's like, I'm distancing myself from you because there's nothing to talk about,
yeah.
right? I'm not in the group chat for fantasy football. There's no knock to that, but I'm not in it. Like, matter of fact, to your point, somebody like last week was like, yeah, bro, you just disappeared from the group. you stayed in the top three. I was like, yeah, man, I just had to focus, but now they respect what we're doing. They come to the events and they understand, like, but now I see, mm-hmm. I get why you had to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you made that move.
And here's the dope part. There's going to be a season of obscurity where they can't see it yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's yep. going to be a season of obscurity where nobody sees it but you.
Right.
And in that season of obscurity, when nobody can see the goal and nobody can see the destination but you, the most detrimental thing you can do is be around people that are trying to pull you back. Because
mm-hmm.
you're in a dark place. You're in this tunnel where you can't see in front of you, but the light is behind you because you remember where you used to be.
Right.
And you don't quite fit in with the new people that yep. you're trying to hang out with because you yep. ain't earned their respect yet.
Yep.
And you don't quite fit in with your old friends because you've made some steps. And the last thing you want to do is hang out with them old people, because them old people is going to bring you back
right.
to the old light that you can see.
Mm-hmm.
So it is almost in your best interest that when you take that, and it is for everybody starting out, when you take that initial journey to become the new person,
yeah,
you have to create some distance between the people who knew you before, because that light will always be more appealing to you than the light that you cannot see in front of you.
100%. Because at the end of the day, we're human beings. And humans are designed for comfort in the sense.
And community.
Yeah,
and like, you don't want to be alone. Like, right. people like was in tribes because they wanted to have people around.
100%.
But you're going to be in a season where you're not going to have a tribe. You don't fit in with your old friends.
Right.
You haven't earned the respect of your new friends.
Right.
Guess what? It's you.
It's all on you. You versus you. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's just like, when you're in that space, when you're in that season, like, your focus has to be on where you're headed.
Mm-hmm.
Your focus cannot be like,
that comfort. Because again, as humans, like, we are designed for comfort, right? It's like fight or flight, right? So it's like, all right, cool. And it's going to be much easier to revert back, right, to the place that you know, the place that's familiar. And you have to distance yourself from that so that you don't fall into that trap.
Yeah.
It's just too easy not to.
Exactly. And I want to make a transition here because I know we can talk about this point literally all day long. But like, people aren't the only things you need to start letting go
100%.
If you want to get to where you're trying to go, right?
100%.
I thoroughly believe that there are beliefs that you also need to let go,
right?
If you're going to leave this old life and step into your new life. So
Facts.
Now that we talked about people, let's talk about some beliefs that people might have to let go if they want to step into this new life that they deserve.
Yeah. I think one big belief people are going to have to let go of is holding on to money, right? Like, sometimes, like, when they're not used to getting money, they want to hoard it. They want to hold on to it almost as a way to protect it or to feel safe. But it's really the exact opposite, right? When you're trying to expand and when you're trying to go, and quite literally, right, your hand has to be open in order to receive the things that you're trying to receive, right? So one belief that people are going to have to let go of is, like, in order for me to grow, I have to sow seeds. That seed might be in the form of hiring a mentor or a coach, right? That seed might be in the form of spending money on advertising to put yourself out there, right? It might come in the form of hiring team members, right, to help you grow and expand. But you have to get comfortable with the idea that in order to grow, I have to let go, which is online in part with this episode. I have to let go of the money, right? Had to put the money, as Dave Dash like to say, put the money in the streets, right? But like, some people, like, they get it, it's like, oh, I ain't never had this much. I don't want to put it back out there. But like, if you want to get to that next level, right, you have to sow those seeds, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Have to sow those seeds.
I think another belief that people are going to need to let go if they want to get to this next level or this life that they deserve, if they need to let go of the thought that hard is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I mean by that. We were taught as kids.
Pause if applicable, just in case. just in case.
That hard is bad. Jesus. So here's what I mean by this. We were taught as kids, like, when things get hard or you get hurt, that means you need to stop doing whatever activity caused that hardness or caused that hurt, right? So if you put your hand on the stove, it hurts you, don't do it again, right? So like, we were bred to believe that when things are hard or difficult, we need to stop doing that and need to revert towards ease because our body wants it to be ease. But as an adult and as somebody who's striving for more, you need to look at hard as a green light.
Mm-hmm.
Because if something is hard, that means you're moving in the right direction for wherever you're trying to go. And, but more importantly, the more levels of hard that you pass, the more you separate yourself from everybody else.
Right.
Because like, if level one was hard, you got passed. Level two was hard, you got passed. Level three was hard, you got passed. And let's use a gym analogy, right? Week one in the gym is hard. Week two in the gym is hard. Week three in the gym is hard. Week four in the gym is hard. For every hard week that you have, you look back and you see, like, oh, most people ain't gonna make it through week one.
Right.
A lot of people ain't gonna make it through week two.
Mm-hmm.
That leg day on week three, I know people ain't making it past the leg day on week three, right? And so I think that if we need to reverse the negative connotation that when something is hard, we're doing something wrong. Right. No. When something is hard, that means you're doing something right. And the harder the goals, the harder the activity, the harder the business, like, the harder things are, you're actually in the right direction and you're separating yourself from any competition of people getting there as well.
Because here's what we got to realize, right? And it's just the way the world works. People are attracted to things that are aspirational and things that are kind of a little bit rare, right? So the reason why people are in awe of the super athletes or in awe of the person who has a six pack is because that shit is hard to get, right? Like, no one's going to admire regular, right? It's just, it's nothing against it, but like, if you're striving for greatness, if you're striving to be like one of them ones, like legendary, as one of my mentors says, he's like, if you want to be regular, do 70% of the work. If you want to be great, do 90% of the work. If you want to be legendary, do 100% of the work, right? Like to be legendary requires compliance. It requires that you have to do all of the details required for greatness, right? Which means you got to create space for the BS that you used to have time for. Like, and that's just going to be a lot of things. You might used to have time to binge watch the Netflix series weekly. You might have used to have time to scroll for hours on end on social. But in order for like, so people kill me when they say they don't have enough time. I always say, show me your screen time on your phone. Mm-hmm. You have time. You don't have time to do both the BS and become the desired version of yourself that you want to be. And that version that you're striving for, that legendary person, it requires a different version of you, and people respect it and revere it because it's rare, not regular. And that's just the way the world works. You just got to understand that. If you care about that, if you care about not, again, what people, other people think, but care about being legendary, like, for example, rest in peace, Kobe. The reason why people who never met him were just like sad when he died, because he was rare. He was something that people looked up to. There were probably, no, not to everybody, every human life is important, but there were probably a lot of other people that day all across the world that are no longer here with us. But Kobe was the one that we talked about because of how legendary he was. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to be clear. I think that all life is important, but you are defined by what you do and who you become. And that's what you're going to be remembered by. Right. And if you want to be remembered as somebody who was legendary, somebody who had legendary impact, someone who was able to change the world, it's going to require you to be a different version of yourself, which means you got to let go of some of the BS.
Yeah. And I think while we're here, another thing that people need to let go of, if you do this alone, like, you're ahead of most people. You have to let go of the thought of people agreeing and understanding with the things you say you want to do.
Exactly.
The definition of extraordinary is not being ordinary. It's being more than ordinary, mm-hmm. right? So if 90% of the world is ordinary people,
right,
they're not going to agree with extraordinary goals.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to let go of the belief that everybody's going to agree with you. Everybody's going to say your business is a good idea. Everybody's going to say that the investment is a good idea. Everybody's going to say that this leaving the country by yourself, moving somewhere to do, like, is a good idea. You have to let go of the narrative that people are going to agree with you and understand mm-hmm. things you want to do. Like, I actually think it's a red flag if you tell 10 people that what you're about to do and they honestly all agree,
yeah.
It's like, something ain't right. Because
right.
if you want to be extraordinary, you're going to have to do things that are not ordinary. Mm-hmm. And most people are ordinary. Most people are average. Right. So they're not going to understand it. So the less people that understand you shows that you're in the right direction. But in human right. nature, we want everybody to agree with us. We Facts. Want everybody to be on our side. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to happen, especially if you're striving for anything that's more than ordinary.
Right. If you talk to some of Jordan's former teammates, some of Kobe's former teammates, when they were playing together, they weren't liked.
Yeah.
No. Right. Because they were committed to the goal of winning. Mm-hmm. Right. Then you might not understand why they're going so hard or why they're doing what they're doing, but they didn't care if you understood because they wanted to win. Right. And if you want to win, there might be aspects where you can't, like doing an award show as a financial advisor, right. Mm-hmm. And a CPA, like, doesn't make sense to most people
mm-hmm.
until they attend it.
Yeah.
Right. Having a merchandise brand as financial literacy thought leader doesn't make sense to most people until they get it, right? Like, so you got to be okay with people not getting, like, if, oh my God, like, and I know you've had these moments, especially going back to like CPA conferences, like trying to be the guys we are now in the spaces that we started from, yeah. like, we would be shunned. Impossible. It's like, what are you yeah. doing?
Yeah.
Like, bro, like, where's your shirt and tie? Like, what are you, like Instagram, social media, we don't do that. We're credentialed. Like, yeah. and now they're asking us, like, we literally, quite literally, get paid and invited to conference, industry conferences, to teach them
what they taught us not to do,
right? And but you got to be okay in that space of not being understood, because mm-hmm. in that season, go back to the tunnel analogy, like, all those people, like, well, this is how we're doing it. This is how the industry is. We don't know what you're doing, but you ain't Mr. Super Influencer yet.
Yeah.
So then it's like you're just in this dark space of like, I'm trying to get there. They don't understand me or relate to me anymore. I'm on an island, which is why we connected, mm-hmm. right? We went to a traditional conference and
this shit sucks.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's just like, yo, like there's got to be a better way. How you doing? Oh, okay, so you got you create a little bit of content. Boom. Okay. Oh, word. And then that's how, you know, so we connected because it was like, oh, man, there's somebody who gets it, who's not just a corny financial advisor or a corny CPA, and they see that there's more that can be done in this space, right?
Yeah, and if you're a financial advisor or a CPA, and you hear us talking about, yeah, you are corny. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no, man.
But so I think what's good here, because, again, I think that one thing we want to do is just get more personal on the show and let people know more about us and our experiences. That's at least the best feedback that we've been getting lately. Give me one instance where you had to let go of a person or a belief that you can remember that really helped like set you free.
Yeah. So I had a childhood friend who was definitely my best friend at the time. We knew each other since like second grade. But then I would say probably like towards college, right? He had a kid way before I did. And like our relationship, he had baby mama drama. And our relationship just became so one-sided. Like I'm in the early phase of trying to think if I want to figure out entrepreneurship or whatever. And he just was like, every conversation was just like, yo, she did this and my mom don't like her and this, that, and the third. Like, and I would give him advice. This went on for a while, probably honestly up until like 2020. And then eventually I was just like, this dude is, I can't say what I'm about to say because that would be a big pause moment. Yeah. This dude is taking a lot.
I'm glad you caught yourself, brother, because we was going to pause the episode for that one.
This dude is taking a lot from me, right? Taking a lot from me, and it's just so one-sided. But I felt this obligation of, like, to uphold the friendship, right? It's like, oh man, we shot her homies, like. But at some point, I was just like, yeah, we in the middle of the pandemic. We don't know what the heck is going on in the world. Like, the last thing I need is a one sided relationship where someone's not pouring into me and holding me back in a season where I'm trying to figure out what the world looks like and what I'm gonna do, right? And I just had to respectfully just like, it was hard because I know this dude since second grade. And I had to just like, I had to part ways. I had to cut. And then in that season, there was like two other people as well who were kind of like, one as bad as him, but I had to kind of like, this is myself from. And it was a very hard thing to do because these were lifelong childhood friends that I knew that if I was going to go to the next level, I had to let go. I know they just didn't get it. They didn't understand. And they were literally holding me back. It was one of the hardest things I had to do because I mean, I still got love for the dude. But I had to let him go in order for me to be able to go where I needed to go.
Yeah. And I think, again, like it's if there's never a need to apologize when you're doing what's best for you.
Right.
Like I said, like if you're doing what's best for you and the people you love, there's never a need to apologize. And like, what's worse? Like being in a relationship that you regret, that you resent, when you're resenting the person every single day.
Right.
Or just like letting the relationship go and be like, hey, yo, like,
facts.
This is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
So
not for that. So what about you?
I was thinking, but I can't think of one that's like, I don't think I ever had that moment where I had to tell somebody like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, yo, delete the number, bro. Like, nah, we ain't doing this no more.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, for me, I think I did a good job of even those people around me that were around me when I was a shorty, they respect my boundaries. And I just stopped answering the phone as much. Not because I want to talk, but because we ain't nothing to talk about, right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I just right. don't. So most of my relationships probably just like kind of fell off, or I'll come around like when it's time to chill and kick it. But I don't think I've ever had a time where I had to like just really like sit somebody down and be like, hey bro, like you wildin'. Like I mean, there's always the instances where like, you know, you go out to a club, you buy the bottle, you know, for the table because you got it, and then you see the guy. Grab it, put it on Instagram before you like,
yo, relax, my guy.
It's just those little mental notes. I haven't had a big moment, but I've had a lot of mental notes.
Yeah.
You know, had the friend, like, let me see the watch, bro. Check it out. Boom. It's on their Instagram before I even see it. It's like, yeah. Bro, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I saw a meme the other day. It said, dudes be buying a section at the club and thinking they bought some land. And then the guy responded, like a girl said that, obviously. And then the dude responded. He was like, and women be trying to get in like illegal immigrants.
Lord.
And women be trying to
get in like illegal immigrants. Lord have mercy.
Man.
But yeah, so I think it's just like those little micro moments. But I think that once you let the guilt go of letting go, like,
yeah.
And it's something you aspire to do because you know letting go is, you know, you're letting go of that 10-pound dumbbell, you're letting go of the extra luggage. The car can go faster, the plane can go faster to the destination where you don't have all this luggage. So I think that this episode should give people the permission.
Yeah.
To let go of things that are no longer serving them so they can get to their destination faster.
Right. And in that process, be reflective of the areas in which you contributed to even carrying the weight in the first place so that it doesn't show up again. Because similar to a video game, right, you can't go to the next level or beat the next boss until you beat the other one. So sometimes people, like, again, there's always nuance in this, but sometimes people will, like, try to not take accountability in scenarios. Like, oh, I just need to cut this person off. I need to cut this person off. But like, well, what role did you play in it? Right. Like, and there might be a scenario where maybe there isn't a role that you play, but there's, in some instances, at minimum, you play the role of tolerating, right. And dealing with the circumstance. So what about you allowed it to persist for that long? And how can you early recognize that now so that it doesn't show up? And again, if somebody else tries to creep in your life, you can recognize like, oh no, like last time this happened, this is where I was at. Like, you can kind of recognize what's going on. So use that opportunity when you cut somebody off to also reflect on who you are and who you want to be so that it doesn't happen again. But I think outside of that, man, I think this is a good episode for y'all to really just digest and reflect on and share it with somebody. If you thought it was valuable, make sure you subscribe, like the video. And of course, as always, we'll see you in the next one.
Peace.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Melanin Money Show. We hope that this episode was inspiring and gave you some tangible nuggets that you can walk away with and implement in real time. If you found this episode valuable, please like, subscribe, share, and consider leaving a review of this episode on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until next time.